be here, and also welcome to those who are joining us online. We have read two readings, one from the letter of Peter and the Gospel of Luke. And I hope that we realize from the two readings that the power of the resurrection acknowledged, it restores our hope and transforms it. It restores our hope and it transforms it. And that is indeed something that is true of the story of our faith, the Christian story. It is at its heart about hope. Hope that has been lost, now restored and transformed. And this movement is powerfully captured in these stories that we have read. First, the Gospel of Luke and the journey towards Emmaus. Now, just to remind us about that journey towards Emmaus, it happened on the first day, which was the Sunday, the day when Jesus was risen from the dead and the tomb was empty. The disciples and these two who walked towards Emmaus were probably part of that group of disciples. They heard from the women that the tomb is empty and the body is not there, and that Jesus is risen. And being men, as men are, they didn't believe the story of the women. We don't, as men, necessarily believe what women say. So they didn't believe the story of the women. And they went to check for themselves. These two now are walking down the road towards Emmaus, disappointed. Their hope is shattered. Their expectations have not been met. And they are walking. And Luke tells us that their faces were downcast. And Jesus, the risen one, joins them as they journey towards Emmaus. And in joining them, he asks them, "What are you talking about?" And you can hear the ridicule from their tone when they say, "Are you the only visitor? Don't you know what had happened on Good Friday just 2 days ago? Don't you know that this Jesus was crucified?" And then they exclaim and tell him, "But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel." So their words when they said that were filled with disappointment. Hope once was alive when Jesus walked the streets of Galilee and cured many people. Hope was alive when Jesus performed many miracles in front of their sight. Hope was alive when Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead. Hope was alive when Jesus challenged the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and questioned their faith. Their hope was alive, but their hope was shattered when Jesus died on the cross. Their hope was shattered. And now it's 3 days since this has happened, and the women come with a confusing story. He's not there. And so when they say, "We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel," those words were filled with disappointment that the crucifixion shattered their hope. Now you contrast that with the words we hear from the first letter of Peter. Peter tells these churches, these believers who are also facing persecution, who are facing trouble, who are suffering at that particular moment. He tells them, through Jesus, you have come to trust in God, who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set in God. Now, Peter does not speak the same as those who were walking on the road. Peter now speaks as one who has witnessed the resurrection. In this letter, if you see the word hope in this letter of Peter, you will see that it follows the fact of the resurrection. So Peter always says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and therefore we have hope, living hope. And now he says, you have come to trust in God who raised Jesus from the dead so that your faith and hope are set in God. Peter is telling us about a different type of hope, a living hope, a resurrection hope, a hope based on a fact, the fact that God rose Jesus from the dead. The fact of what God had done in the midst of death. And here, hope is no longer in the past tense, but hope is in the present and the future. Hope is alive, grounded in the resurrection. And this is what Peter is talking about. Then the resurrection moves us. This is the movement of the resurrection. From broken hope to living hope. From disappointment to, and from despair to mission. From disappointment to trust. Well, those who were on the road to Emmaus and walking down that journey, they embody deeply our own experience as people. Hope tied up in expectations. We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. So they had certain expectations about this Jesus. In him, they saw a political leader. In him, they saw someone who will change their circumstances now at that particular moment. In him, they saw someone who would overthrow the empire and free them. So their hope was tied up to expectations. And we are like that as human beings. Oh yes, we are like that. 1994 taught us that. Our hope was tied up to expectations. And when expectations are not met, we get disappointed. And we have that each and every cycle, every time when we go to the polls to vote for a new government, we have hope that things will change. And then we get disappointed. And so when we tie up our hope to expectations, we're very much like these two that were walking the road towards Emmaus. And now when Jesus died on the cross, so too their expectations, they collapsed and their hope was disappointed. This moment now speaks directly to our own context. We too suffer much like the recipients of this letter, the recipients of this letter of Peter. We suffer much cruelty. We see death every single day. We suffer in the economy where even the petrol price is now soaring exponentially. Poverty and greed and corruption and inequality are signs of our despair. We too are despairing. We're despairing as communities, we're despairing as individuals. Like those disciples, we say, we had hoped. We probably had hoped that in this advancement of technology, people and leaders will be sound. We probably had hoped that people, when they go and graduate from university and become leaders, at least they will be rational in their thinking. We probably had hoped, but we, the more we hope and the more we have expectations, the more we are met with disappointment at the failure of people. And this reality contradicts our expectations by much. Now, Peter speaks into that kind of despair when Peter says, look at God and have your trust in God, the one who did this, who rose Jesus from the dead. Because of that act of God, therefore, set your trust and hope in God. Set your trust and hope in God. You see, it is very much like this. Peter is probably saying something like this. You know, when you're going to employ someone to do a very difficult project, you want to get their CV and see if they can meet your expectations and see if they can do the job. And you ask them, do you have experience? Have you ever done this before? So Peter is like giving us the CV of God, the resume of God. Do you know what God once did? He rose Jesus from the dead. And therefore the suffering we are enduring now, God will give us victory. And the death we are facing now, God will give us life. God will act. Why am I saying that? Because Jesus is risen from the dead. So Peter points to the resurrection as a fact, a foundational fact for our hope and our faith. Set your faith and hope in God. This kind of hope set on the resurrection, it just does not, it does not restore the hope we had before. You see those who walked down the road towards Emmaus? They had hoped that this Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. But when they understand the resurrection, it does not restore their old hope. It rather transforms that hope. It changes it. So hope is no longer based on human expectations, but hope is now based on God's actions. What God does when we are faced with death. What God does when we are faced with suffering. Hope is no longer fragile, but hope is based on God's faithfulness. As sure as Jesus was that, yes, I will give my life, but on the third day I will rise again. God is faithful. Hope is no longer limited to immediate outcomes, but hope is open to the eternal purpose of God. That's the hope that we have. And so the fact that we have witnessed the resurrection, it gives us hope that life at the end is the gift of God. But it does not take away, does not deny what happened on Friday. It's not that kind of hope. It does not deny even the reoccurrence of the Good Friday. Even today, we see the violence like that violence of the Good Friday. Even today, we see those who actually seek for the liberation and reconciliation of God's people being unjustly condemned to death. We see that even today. Even today, evil seems to be overwhelming. But we have hope that the gifts of God are life, love, and reconciliation. We have hope. And we have hope that we will receive those even at the moment of our suffering. We have that kind of hope. And so we have hope in this world of suffering. But that hope does not just leave us there. That hope makes us to move back to the places of darkness and declare the resurrection. Now let's go back to those who walked the road towards Emmaus. When their eyes were opened and they realized that this is the risen Jesus who was standing amongst them, what did they do? They rushed back at that hour. Remember, they said, stay with us, for evening has come. But now they rushed back at that hour, back to Jerusalem. What was happening in Jerusalem? Their friends, their colleagues were locked up in the upper room for fear of the Jews. So they went back to the place of fear, back to the place of the violence of Good Friday. They went back to that place, even in darkness, they walked back to that place to declare, he is risen. He is risen. And so this living hope, this restored hope, this hope that has been transformed, it does send us as missionaries to go and declare life in places of death, to go and declare peace in places of war, to go and declare reconciliation where there is division, to go and declare Jesus is alive. We go and declare those because of the resurrection. We become witnesses of hope in a world of despair. We become those who proclaim and fight for justice in a world of injustice. We live with this hope. We live with it. Otherwise, we would not be here. Just a personal story as I conclude. You know, back then in 2004, I think, no, 2005, back then, a colleague of mine, we were talking in a small town called Orkney, and he was telling me about all his despair and disappointment and hurts and how everything is just helpless and hopeless, and that he's ready to leave the country. And so he left the country and went to Britain. And then he told me, are you still going to continue in this church? Even Christianity is dying. Who takes us seriously anymore? Nobody is. Churches will be closed. And by his prediction, churches would be closed 10 years to come. It will just, so by 2014, churches should have been closed. for him who were selling a product that was not marketable anymore. And then we had this long conversation of a friend of mine who was just complaining, and you know how heavy that can be. But because of hope, we continue. We continue. And God does something. It was just after this friend of mine spoke to me and told me about his plans, how he's going to leave and go and just pick up, that I was called to a school in Orkney to go and speak to children about this hope. And I said, why not? Why not? Churches may be closed in 2014. Yes, they still are open. But children still need this message of hope. It may not be proclaimed within these walls. In fact, it should be proclaimed amongst those children who suffer in our schools, as Jane had said, among those children whose lives are in danger in our streets. This message should go there. It should go there. And so the two who were walking down Emmaus walked back a journey to Jerusalem to go and tell the message of hope. Go and tell in your vocations, Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, we have hope. Go and budget in your departments fairly and justly, because Jesus is alive. Do not be defeated by those who are corrupt and who are thieves, but go and be fair in your departments, because Jesus is risen. Use the resurrection and see it as a foundation for a living hope. A living hope. Hear the words of Peter again. Peter says to us, God has raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. Therefore, our faith and hope are now set in God. Don't set your hope in people, but in God. When people disappoint us, God is faithful. When people harm us, God heals. When people are violent, God brings peace. When people are murderous, God gives life. That's what the Good Friday and Easter show us. Humanity are people of Good Friday, of the violence of Good Friday. But God is the God of life, of Easter. Jesus is alive, and therefore we have hope. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. O give us courage, O God, as you did to those two who walked the journey to Emmaus. Give us courage to walk in the darkness of this world and proclaim your light. Give us courage to walk in the death places of this world and proclaim your life. Give us courage to walk in the dangerous places of this world where fear abounds, to proclaim your faithfulness, your comfort, and your healing for your people. O Lord God, because you raised Jesus from the dead, help us to know, even today, that life is stronger than death. Help us to be advocates of life, of justice, of peace, of reconciliation, because in you we have victory. O dear God, help us that we may not settle in the comfort of church buildings, but rather we may be stirred up to go and proclaim this victory of Jesus amongst your children to the world that you love. Give us the courage you gave to John Wesley of old, who traveled throughout his homeland proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stir your church up. Unlock the safety doors of our sanctuaries. Drive us out to preach the good news that Jesus is alive, and therefore we have hope. Through him, whom you raised from the dead and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and always. Amen.